Today, as you may have noticed, is the Feast of the Transfiguration. And it's one of a small number of feasts that actually takes precedence over the Sunday. So rather than following the course of the Sunday lectionary, we have this feast that we observe this day. And this feast has, I think, such strong images. We've got a mountaintop. There's light. There's a cloud. There's a voice. The appearance of Moses and Elijah. Moses, Elijah appearing with Jesus in glory and radiant. Now, in past years when I preached on this feast, I've paid attention to those things, but I confess that this week, as I was thinking about today's gospel, thinking about this feast, I found something else catching my attention. And oddly enough, I noticed that in our lessons, we find examples of some fear. In our first lesson, Moses goes up the mountain and he is there for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, this is the second time Moses goes up the mountain. The first time he's there, he is with God. He is given the tablets of the commandments. But when he comes down the mountain, he finds the people are worshiping a golden image. And so Moses, in anger, throws the tablets down. And God also gets angry. And God threatens to punish the people. In fact, it's interesting if you read that part of Exodus. When God is talking with Moses, God refers to the people as your people. Before that, they had been God's people. Moses reminds God of this. And in that conversation, God decides that he won't punish the people. And so Moses goes back up the mountain later. And is there, as I say, 40 days and 40 nights. And has that experience of being with God as God descends on the mountain in the cloud. He actually sees the back of God and then is given those 10 commandments on those two tablets. And he comes down the mountain, and this time the people say that they will be faithful. They will follow the commandments of God. But they are also afraid of Moses when he first comes down because his face is glowing, is shining. He is reflecting that radiance of God after that encounter with God. And they are afraid to come near Moses because of it. And so Moses puts a veil on his face. In our gospel, Jesus is taking three of his disciples up the mountain to pray. So Peter, James, and John go with him to the mountaintop. And then while they are there, he changes. And in a dramatic way, he becomes dazzling white. Moses and Elijah are with him, talking with him. And they all appear in glory. And what they are talking about is Jesus going on to Jerusalem, where he will be crucified. Then a voice, first a cloud, comes over the mountain. And then from that cloud comes a voice. Just like in the story of Moses, that cloud, God's presence, comes over the mountaintop. And the voice says, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And we are told by Luke that they were terrified. And I have to say, who wouldn't be? I know if I were on that mountain and that happened, I would be terrified by that experience. This got me thinking about the age in which we live. And how so many people in this age live with anxiety, some with outright fear. Just a few examples. I was thinking this week how many of us who are LGBT fear loss of civil rights, some of which have only recently been gained. How many fear they will not have sufficient and affordable health care insurance. How others fear violence in their neighborhood or fear violence because of racial injustice. There's anxiety throughout our world about terrorism, about threats of new violence, maybe even new wars. And I could go on. But in short, there are many reasons for us to live by anxiety, maybe to be fearful. And so then we have our collect of the day, where we prayed, "Mercifully grant that we, being delivered from the disquietude of this world, may by faith behold the King in his beauty." We prayed that we would be delivered from disquietude, not a word we use very often now, but I think a word that sums up the age in which we live, living in that state of anxiety. And we prayed that we would be set free from that, delivered from that, that we might behold God in God's beauty. Marilynne Robinson, an author some of us know and have read, in her book, The Givenness of Things, has an essay called Fear. And she says this, First, contemporary America is full of fear. And second, fear is not a Christian habit of mind. As Christians, we are to believe that we are to fear not the death of our bodies, but the loss of our souls. Now, that is not to say, of course, that we don't know fear. Fear is real, we experience it, we often can't avoid it. But I think she's making the point that as Christians, we don't stay there. That's not the end of the story. We have a call and a charge to name our fears, but not act from that place of fear. We're to pray our way through it. We're to support one another as a community of faith, coming together to face our fears and to move through them as a community. There's a sense almost in which we're called to act as though we're the bravest, most courageous, strongest people, even though we might not feel it. But that as a community, we can strengthen one another. Through prayer, we can be supported by God in living that reality. The author Anne Lamott has said, "Courage is fear that has said its prayers." The fear is there, but in saying our prayers, the power is taken away and we're able to allow God to support us and to not live bound by that fear. And so we have those three disciples with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they are terrified at the experience, at the cloud, at the voice. And yet, that's not the end of the story. They do leave that mountain. They go on with Jesus to Jerusalem, and they're with him at the Last Supper, at his betrayal and his arrest, and at the crucifixion. And they're there to experience his glorious resurrection. And then at the end, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, they give their lives to Jesus, even many of them as witnesses, as the ultimate witness, as martyrs, giving their very life for the sake of Jesus. Now, it's not to say, I think, that they didn't have fear in doing that, but they prayed their way through that. They trusted God, and they chose to not let fear cripple them or to remain bound by that fear. And so we have this feast of the Transfiguration, which is a revealing of God's promise and God's desires for us. Peter, James, and John on that holy mountain get to see that day God as God is. They get to see Jesus revealed as fully human and fully divine, radiating the light of God's glory. The light that's present before the creation. The light that John's gospel tells us comes into the world and the darkness does not overcome it. Those three get to see the reality of God revealed in the human person of Jesus. They get to see God's intention that just as God becomes human in Jesus, so we are destined to be raised to the divine life. That God desires to clothe us with divinity, to envelop us in God's divine light, to lift us from the disquietude of this life, that we might behold the King in his beauty. One of the prime figures in today's gospel is, of course, Peter, and many are struck by his response to this transfiguration experience. Let us build three booths. It's good that we are here. Peter is, in a way, suggesting staying on the mountain, and I understand that impulse. I understand that Peter has just had that experience of God's glory, and he wants to stay, he wants to witness to that, he wants to worship. He wants to remain in that revelation of God's promise for the fullness of the divine life. But Jesus doesn't allow that. Jesus takes them from that mountain, and indeed they travel to that place Peter never wanted to go, to Jerusalem, where Jesus is killed. But I think that this mountaintop experience shows us that though they left the mountain, God did not stay there. God is not enshrined on that mountain of the Transfiguration, but is everywhere. That the glory of God revealed in Jesus, the three disciples glimpse briefly on that mountain, but then also know as they move through that journey to Jerusalem, that glory of God is there on the road, there at the foot of the cross, and there at the empty tomb. So it's real for us, that promise of the glory of God, even when we may not be able to sense it or realize it or have awareness of it. Maybe perhaps while we're suffering, or frightened, or grieving, or even despairing. Leo the Great, Bishop of Rome, in a Transfiguration sermon in the year 461, said this: "The great reason for this Transfiguration was to remove the scandal of the cross from the heart of Jesus' disciples, and to prevent the humiliation of his voluntary suffering from disturbing the faith of those who have witnessed the surpassing glory that lay ahead. No one should fear to suffer for the sake of justice. No one should lose confidence in the reward that has been promised. The way to rest is through toil. The way to life is through death. Christ has taken on himself the whole weakness of our lowly human nature. If then we are steadfast in our faith in him and in our love for him, we win the victory that he has won. We receive what he has promised. That promise of the transfiguration is that glory of God is intended for us, that our human lives will be raised to the fullness of the divine life, that God desires to share that life with us. And so just as Jesus is revealed on that mountain, so will Jesus be revealed at the end of the age when we come into the fullness of God's glory. And so on this day, my hope and prayer is that we, like Peter, will desire continually to worship the majesty of God revealed in Jesus, and to worship wherever we find ourselves, be it on the bliss of that mountaintop, or the depths of our fear and despair, or in those ordinary moment-by-moment happenings of life. And like Moses, may we reflect the light of God's glory. Just as Moses' face was shining, so can we reflect the light of God to this world, a world which is full of fear, of anxiety, which is broken and hurting. And may we always trust God's promise to raise us to the life eternal, that we will dwell with God for eternity, where we behold the beauty of God and the light of God's glory. Amen. Amen.